Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Hello, gentlemen. Let's do a sound check.
Yes. I've got you 5x5.
Hey, Major Tom. Welcome back, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you.
And we're going to get Brother Tom back on. How are you and the family doing, my friend?
Oh, we're doing quite well. I just finished listening to the St. Vincent Prime Minister here this last hour, laying out all of his COVID-19 policies, and we have an active volcano and gave us an update on all of that kind of stuff. So we're doing real fine in the middle of chaos.
You have volcanoes where you're at, too?
Yes, we have one, Le Soufre.
Wow. Yeah, we have Mount Agung here. Brother Mac, how are you doing, my friend?
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, my friend. Welcome back. Well, gentlemen, it's an honor to have you here tonight. Folks, wherever you're tuning in from, welcome aboard. We're doing a special test tonight. We're simulcasting on Discord. Turns out they have a broadcast.
Oh, my.
Yes. So, folks, y'all can check that out if you'd like to. And please let a friend know about our new chat room. Well, we're going to get started. Brother Mac, I want to make one tweak. Can you pull your mic away from your mouth just a little bit?
Okay.
It sounds a little bit different tonight for some reason, but no background
noise.
That's
because it's my computer. Oh. For some reason, I cannot get Skype calls into my computer.
Okay. No worries. Well, it's clear and no background noise, so you're good. Well, we'll roll with what we got. Gentlemen, let's get started. Do you want to open us in prayer?
Go ahead.
Yes, please. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being Lord and Master, Creator of the universe, and so compassionate and full of love and graciousness and mercy that you are mindful of us. We thank you for this. We ask, Lord, now in these times of evil, that you would cover us with a shadow of your wings, protect us and keep us from evil, guide us to the point that we will not open ourselves up to give the enemy any handhold or foothold in our lives or in our ways. Amen. But that our ways and our lives will be settled in you and you alone. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, welcome back. Over to you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. We have amazing things that are occurring right before our eyes. We can look at the scriptures and actually watch things begin to unfold in front of us. It's an exciting time. And least we forget it, all who are here and alive right now listening, know this. Each one of us has been born for such a time as this. This is our destiny. This is part of our destiny. Let us press deeply into the Lord that we might fulfill that perfect destiny that He has desired for us. In fact, He's desired it so much that He actually has written a book about each one of our lives of what He would really love to happen. It doesn't mean that it's required, because we have to choose that. But He has perfected the perfect way for each of us to walk. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Now, having said that, in the United States particularly, we have a major unusual event beginning to occur that shows the fear, the anxiety, and the paranoia of individuals who do not walk with the Lord. There was one incident that occurred on the 6th of January where some hooligans, not of a persuasion for the rule of law, but for the inclusion of the misuse of law and chaos, and their objective is, in fact, to create chaos that they might then bring out of that chaos the form of power, not necessarily government, but the form of power that is best to their liking. And that power includes the elimination of most of us who are God-fearing, law-abiding, and law-loving individuals and citizens of the United States. If you are any one of those, if you are a veteran, a military veteran, if you are a constitutionalist, if you are a proud American, or a person who is deeply involved in ensuring that law and justice and mercy are followed in our nation, and that we still are a nation under God. And as long as we have one man and one woman giving breath and still adhering to the very principle that we are a nation under God, it shall be. They'll have to kill everyone that draws breath that adheres to that. Now, they may attempt to do that, but I don't think God's going to allow it all to happen. When you look at the, how many, has anyone heard the latest number of troops, National Guard and active duty, along with law enforcement and FBI, that has convened and appeared at Washington, D.C.? What is that number now? The latest I heard this morning was 35,000. Yesterday it was 25,000. That's 10,000 more. How on earth do you need that many individuals for your peaceful transition of power?
Well, let's ask a question. Let's ask a question. How many troops did we have in Afghanistan?
Oh, I never got a troop count, so I don't know.
Well, the most I ever heard was about 15,000 to 20,000.
We have more here in one city than we had in the entire battlefront of Afghanistan.
I mean, the thing that's starting to come to my mind is, what do they expect, the Second Battle of Stalingrad?
Yeah. And well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Tom, because Stalingrad, of course, that was a army, an entire army that was pretty much annihilated by the Russians. The Sixth Army of the German Wehrmacht, but Stalingrad itself was named, of course, after Stalin. It was an icon for the Russians and for their particular history. And obviously, you don't hear about the initial history. That was all covered up and has been kept secret for many, many years. except for those that were involved in it and those whose families were involved in it. What they do, and this is the same thing that happened with Mao as well, is that shortly after they begin to rise in power, there are several things that are going to happen, and we're going to see this probably play out within hours. Any alternate or alternative news source that they can gain control over, they will silence. They will shut them down. Now, it's going to be harder to do in today's technology because look at what we have going on right now at this very moment. We're outsourced, if you want to put it that way, because we're not under the authority of the United States of America. And we can broadcast freely into the United States. So that doesn't shut us down. There may be other ways because this is a global thing, and we've got to remember this is not a political conflict. It's not a political difference of opinion. It is a demonic power struggle.
Brother Mac,
full force.
Excuse me. See if you can pull your mic back a little bit, Brother Mac.
Okay, I had to get up and deal with something real quick.
No problem. Oh, okay. You may want to mute yourself. Okay, go ahead, Brother Beard.
Yeah, you end up with that first thing is, of course, silencing any opposition messages coming through. The other one is a deception, a grand deception, usually called the deception of trust. Now, we have a group of individuals that are always been, for the last 4 years, been saying, trust the plan. The problem is there's ever never been a plan in the way of mind of the audience. The audience was thinking of a plan that would bring us closer to justice and closer to purity, closer to elimination of corruption, closer to elimination of criminality and all of this kind of thing. Unfortunately, that is not the plan. The plan that's been implemented, if you follow the directions of how we have progressed, has, particularly in the last 10 months, has been a global agenda of taking over the Republic of the United States of America and destroying the fabric of our law and of our republic itself, so that we can usher in, and it's like was stated last week, and it didn't come from me, it came from Headlines with a Voice, very aptly said, the masters of our master, our masters, who are called puppet masters, that makes us the puppets. The rulers become our masters, and their masters are preparing us by this COVID-19 issue and the subsequent control measures, particularly the control measures, they are preparing us to offer us up on a platter for their master. Notice I said their master, the devil himself, who shall inhabit the image of the beast and animate it. This is demonic possession at the greatest, highest level. And it is designed to take charge and to come over us right now. And when you look at the rapid implementation and preparation for further implementation of draconian measures for our control, you can see that it's not, because it's going worldwide all at the same time, how can it happen so effectively and efficiently?
Excuse me just a second, Brother Baird. Brother Matt, can you mute your mic? I'm getting a lot of background noise, brother.
I don't understand how.
Well, your mic is live, so as you're walking around, I can hear it all. Can you mute it?
Oh, I'm just sitting here. I'm not walking around now.
Okay. We'll roll with what we got.
I don't know what's...
But you still may...
I don't know what's going on.
If you can mute yourself until you talk, that would help. That's what I'm doing.
I'll try.
You got a mute switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
That'll give us the clearest connection. Okay, Brother Baird, keep going.
Okay. Well, to bring this to a conclusion and to bring out the main point that I really want to make, in addition to all of these things that are going to be implemented, this Bolshevik Revolution style not only happened in Russia, it also happened majorly in China and in closer to home in Venezuela and in Cuba. The next action that's going to occur is there's going to be a false flag or an announcement to the effect that all the patriots, all the constitutionalists, all the veterans need to assemble and need to protect our nation, and we need to come together. And as that goes forward, it's a false announcement. It's not an announcement by the alternate media. It's an announcement by the very culprits that are establishing communist rule and dictatorship over the United States. The same people that are the what we call the deep state and the corrupt officials are the same ones that will call forth for this particular assemblage and rising up. Their objective is to bring out of the woodwork everyone who is associated with law and order, everyone who is in the opposition to this communist takeover. Once they have our names, it's a simple process of finding out where we are. The leaders themselves will be assassinated, killed, executed, followed by the next layer of leaders, but they're not going to stop at that. Their objective is approximately 150 million to 200 million citizens of the United States of America to be killed. They're not talking about unity and forgiveness and this kind of thing. That particular phrase, their thought of having unity with us and giving us liberty is the liberty of death. They cannot and will not tolerate any difference of opinion, of statement or thought that's voiced. We are in an inquisition, just like the Spanish Inquisition, just like the French Inquisition and Revolution, just like the Inquisition in the time of Mary, Queen of Scots, when they brought the Papists back into England for that brief period of time.
There's another one that we need to consider that you yourself is very much involved in, and that's Cambodia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Pol Pot, probably one of the biggest butchers in all of history.
Mm-hmm.
The movie The Killing Fields described it, but you were there you talk to the Cambodians.
Well, and it's interesting how the Lord worked that way, because I was only a, you got to remember, I was only a young captain. I had no rank. I had no political power. I had no political ambitions whatsoever. I never have had only to the extent of a local area to be involved in the government in our local areas. But when I was over in Vietnam, the Lord so orchestrated things there that he put me in charge of the head Cambodian ecclesiastical chief. And the flavor of the Buddhists in that particular area was that they were what we call the Theravada Buddhists. It would be like the same in category of when we look at individuals that are strongly for their religion and strongly for the truth that they, as they understand it. And by the way, as a Christian, I know what the truth is, and I know that it's scriptural, and those that adhere to the scripture, that are known to be to adhere to the scripture well and strongly, are the Southern Baptist denomination. Well, the Theravada Buddhists would be similar to that in the Buddhist affair. Now, he wanted to learn English. I needed to, because, 85% of my population in my area was Cambodian, Khmer, because they were a pocket of the Khmer Empire, and so they were part of the Cambodian ethnic people group. They literally were Cambodian, Khmer. And they look different, their mannerisms are different, their culture is different. You can become friends quite quickly with a Khmer, at least at that point in time you could, as opposed to a Vietnamese, because the Vietnamese had been run over and walked over by, you know, various armies for quite a while. They were aloof. They held themselves back because of that wise choice. And so you had to earn a Vietnamese loyalty. But a Khmer was sort of like the difference between an agricultural community and a big city. In the agricultural community, everybody knows everybody and you're friendly. You know who to trust. You have a trust that has been proven over and over, and so you don't doubt it. The same with the Khmer. But you go into an inner city where people are shoulder to shoulder with hundreds to thousands of strangers every day, you don't know who to trust. And so you keep yourself guarded. Same thing. Well, we were learning. I was trying to teach him English. He was trying to teach me Cambodian, and I'm very, very slow at language. So he was advancing much faster than I. At the same time, while I was on military duty during the daytime mostly, and so on, the Lord allowed the units that were under my particular guidance, because I was an advisor, although because I participated in the battles just as much as everybody else, it was sometimes as though I were one of their commanders or whatever, because when we needed to advance towards the enemy and you needed to find them, that's the most dangerous spot to be in, because you get killed quick if you don't know what you're doing. Well, I ended up having the knowledge and the experience of how to detect foreign invaders and foreign soldiers, not only by observation, but by smell and everything else. And so I was actively involved with my troops. I went in front of them. But the Lord, in every case, even by forewarning me when the danger was going to be and where the danger was going to be, that we didn't suffer great casualties. And so there actually was a competition of commanders and of troops saying, I want to be in underneath or with this particular advisor. There was a situation like that. So that was recognized. That was known. Now, because I was trustworthy, and I oftentimes when one of the soldiers got wounded and I was next to him, I took the initiative and picked up the man and carried him out of the battlefield. That makes a great impression upon individuals when there's a different culture involved, especially. Now, with all of that having been said, that is what God used to set up the situation where this particular man, I don't know how he was that influential, but he sent word up through the Mekong River estuary all the way up into Cambodia, because I was on the Mekong River, and on the land right next to it. And so the word got out, and we had, at that point in time, we had a communist dictator in Cambodia, and his name was Sihanouk. And many of the people chafed under him, because when you're oppressed, you don't really like that. And the word came down, and they understood where they were. Well, there were seven general officers, lower rank generals, that were staff members that exfiltrated their lines, went through the Cambodian security lines, through the NVA, North Vietnamese lines, through the VC lines, Viet Cong lines, into our area. And they did this undetected. Obviously, they must have been traveling at night, and probably in the middle of the river as well. So they had to avoid our forces, and they had to avoid all these others. And they this one particular day, we had a stand down because we were preparing for an operation. And I ended up, our compound was on one side of the village, and the headquarters was towards the middle and further over on the other side, on the left-hand side of the village. I was at the headquarters. We were doing our map survey and our preparation and so on. Noontime came, and when you're not in battle, you do exactly what your culture does, which is you eat your noon meal and you take a siesta for 4 hours. And so that's what they shut the headquarters down. So I'm walking back towards my compound. And in the process, I have to go through this narrow, kind of like a trail, but it was a road in between houses. So that you walk between two houses, and you were probably in a shoulder to a shoulder and a half wide on this little path. I went right by, or I came up to the sitting room door, which is the main door to the house, and it was slightly ajar, but there was no light. Well, culture there said that if the door is ajar, the owner is amiable to expect visitors. If it's closed, he's in siesta and you don't disturb him unless it's an emergency. It was ajar. And so as I went by, but I didn't see anyone, so I just paid no attention. I needed to get back to my compound. I got right next to the door. The door was suddenly flung open inward. A very strong grip from an arm that was browner than mine grabbed me and pulled me in to the room. Well, now, 2 weeks before that, a friend of mine, as a captain, had been lured into the home of a family that was friendly to him. turns out that the enemy had actually were holding the daughter and the mother by knife point to their throats, while the man came out and enticed the person in. And then, long story short, he was brought in and assassinated and his body thrown out into the river. So here I am now being drawn in, and I see these strange seven men. They have uniforms. I don't know what they are. And he says, you know, I'm alarmed. I've got to either flight or flee. I mean, I've got a fight or flight. And so I don't sit down. I try to stand up, and I try to keep an open area to go back out that door as fast as I can. And my friend is motioning with his hands, both hands, for me to sit down. He says, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm thinking to myself, you can say it's okay, but I'm the guy here that's in duress. And so he finally gets through to me to the point, nobody's actually doing any aggressive motions at this point in time, and which they would have had to have done if they were really meaning to kill me. And so I'm beginning to realize, okay, it's not quite what I think it is, but I'm not sure yet. And so I just sort of, I'm sure I was white as a ghost at that point in time. And they finally get me to sit down, they close the door. Boy, did that ever bother me at that point in time. I'm thinking, okay, here goes my life. And so he finally says, no, he says, we have an important thing we need to share with you. And so they shared with me who they were and how they got to where they were in this man's house. How on earth they had heard of me, of all people. But they didn't trust anybody in any level of command, no matter how trustworthy they may have been, except me. And that had to be God. Now, what they disclosed to me is they said, we want to overthrow Prince Sihanouk and take control of our country and bring it back to a democracy and freedom and liberty. And so they wouldn't meet with anybody else but me. And they said, we need you to contact the President of the United States, and we need you to order for us artillery shells, the ammunition, all of the logistics for artillery pieces, and helicopters and airplanes. And I'm thinking, I don't know how much you got. I ask them, well, how many? How much? We don't know. You tell us. Well, there are actually tables that tell you, if you want a force of such and such a size, how much you're going to need of this stuff. But you don't carry those kind of manuals, the information is contained in pieces of paper and manuals and books and reference points and so on that probably weigh 150 pounds. You can't carry that kind of stuff out in the battlefield. So I have no access to something like that. Yet they want me to do that. They will not meet with anybody but me. I finally get them to, because I knew there was, and I'll just say it over the air, it was there was a CIA agent at higher headquarters from mine, and I knew that he was there and that he had access through intelligence circles to find out how they could get that kind of material to these individuals to support them in their effort to gain freedom. And it turns out they finally allowed that person to meet with them as long as I was with them. And that took it took about 6 weeks of meeting with this other individual and me before I could finally get them weaned away from me. and talk to the other guy. Now, the other guy could talk fluent Cambodian. I could not. Long story short, they actually got approval for United States support somehow or other. I'm not sure how that happened. But it was a minimal thing. And thank goodness it was, because if it had been a full thing, we would have probably loused it up, knowing what I know now about our CIA and their regime change kind of stuff. But these guys went back, and it's what God did is he took Prince Sihanouk, sent him all the way up to China, to Beijing, on a conference with Mao at that point in time. And while he was up there, these guys happened, you know, they were back in country, and there was enough momentum going that they simply moved everybody that was loyal to Sihanouk out of the way. They didn't kill him. It was a bloodless coup, if you can imagine so. And they did, in fact, take over the country, took over the nation, and they were able to establish liberty and freedom for approximately 2.5 years, and then Pol Pot came in. But they had a brief reprieve in that period of time, and in that period of time, the missionaries that had been there and that had been working with the people came back in, and they were able to reestablish and expand the missionary effort of Christianity in Cambodia to a powerful extent. And I think that was in to prepare those individuals and those saints for the killing fields that happened later on. I mean, that's how God worked on that. Getting back to what we have now this particular situation. Why do we have the troops in such massive numbers? I think there's probably two reasons. And I'm going to call this what it is. It's a false flag. I don't know who pulled the string on the false flag, but I do know the elements that did the work. Antifa primarily, along with Black Lives Matter, but primarily Antifa and the leadership, the underground leadership of Antifa. They attended the rally over at the White House for President Trump in Trump regalia, in mega hats and clothes that matched the people that were congregating there. And some were estimating 2 to 3 million people altogether that came into the D.C. area during that particular time on the 6th of January. Nevertheless, there was a large group. 30 minutes before Trump finished his speech, this group exited, and they have, you know, they have phone footage, you know, your iPhone footage and all that kind of stuff of these guys leaving at the same time, and they went over to the Capitol building, and they were the first ones 30 minutes prior to, well, actually longer than that, because it was 30 minutes before even the rally finished. So they came in, and they're the ones that did the destruction. However, neither the congressman or the staff of the congressman were in on the plan. And so when they saw this and they saw the massive amount, you know, 2 million people is a lot of people, and they're all standing outside the Capitol. Well, you can't tell the difference when you're under duress between the bad guys and the good guys, unless you're astute and you're looking for it and you've been given a heads up. So they saw the patriots of United States in a massive way, and then with the five or six deaths that occurred during that period of time, the shooting that occurred at that point in time, that was enough to scare the pants off of every one of them. And so you now have individuals without Christ, and that's what our leadership is primarily right now. I hate to say that, but that's what it is. And they are just scared to death in paranoia over that particular event. And 25,000, 35,000 isn't enough. If they could have 250,000 to 2 million protecting them, that wouldn't be enough either. Because without Christ, there isn't any amount that's going to be enough to give you security, to give you peace. You're not going to have peace without God. Doesn't matter how much power you have. And so you've got that particular element. The other element is they are – the guardsmen are there to capture terrorists. They're not looking for Antifa, by the way, the ones that are actually carrying the title of terrorist. They're looking for a veteran. They're looking for an older guy like me, 80 years old, that believes in liberty and freedom and justice for all, who has served as a veteran. So I'm in double jeopardy. But they're looking for everyone like that. And what they're going to do is round you up. That's the purpose. It's not for the citizens of the United States, it's for the protection of the culprits that are in charge of our government. And there's no amount of force that's going to be enough as far as those individuals are concerned. Watch out, because when this particular element, and it is the other thing I want to emphasize, is it's not an emotional thing, it is a spiritual thing. And the demons are filled with rage and hatred and fear. And the individuals that they inhabit are individuals that have been deprived of they've had a hard life to begin with. And they project the abuse that they've received in their life on you. They don't see you as someone they can talk to. They see you as the greatest threat in their life, and they are going to eliminate you. That's what the situation is right now. Beware. Do not go near those rally points, those assembly points, unless you're being called as a paramilitary under authority, proper authority, to defend your state, defend your community, defend your house. Do it under authority. But don't go out and don't look for trouble, because trouble will find you. It is a dangerous time to be out as an innocent bystander. And most individuals, even myself right now, because I'm so old, I don't have the ability, the quickness and the agility and all of the other things that are needed to confront an active terrorist mob. Even if I had the weapons that I usually carried, and by the way, because I knew that I couldn't get resupplied very well, the combat load for an M16 is 120 rounds. I carried 490 rounds. I had ammunition all over my body. I wasn't going to run out. I figured if they didn't kill me on the first round, they're dead. And that was true. It's not that way anymore. My reflexes are slow. I can advise, I can give guidance and so on. But primarily, even as a Christian, I would be as an infidel if I did not defend my family. this idiocy of nonviolence is good up to a point, but you don't leave your family vulnerable. You don't ignore them. You've got to consider your family, and you as a man, for all of those of you that are men, your responsibility before God is the family he's given you. Take care of them. Get them out of the way. Stand in the gap. But don't offer them up as fleece or sheep to the slaughter. Goodness, I didn't know I was going to go on like this.
We're live.
Everything you said, we have to consider, because this is getting dangerous now.
It is.
And all I know is we have some incredible criminals at the top of this.
We do.
In fact, I want to read a quote from a Sherlock Holmes story. And remember, what started all this is COVID-19. And this is what Sherlock Holmes said in regard to doctors. He said, when a doctor goes wrong, he is the first of criminals. He has nerve and he has knowledge. Palmer and Pritchard were among the heads of their profession. And those two men used poison to kill everyone who got in their way, the way of their ambition. And the man that Sherlock Holmes was dealing with, he was using a poisonous snake to kill his own family so he could get his wife's estate, which had been given to her daughters because he was a second marriage. But he only got that money if his daughters-in-law were dead. So he was using a poisonous snake. And back in those days, in fact, it's probably still true, that poison goes in the system, kills him, and is out before anyone can track it down.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Cleopatra.
Yes. But what we're looking at is we're looking at the first of criminals. Mm-hmm. They have the nerve, they have the knowledge. They have no conscience whatsoever.
That's right.
You get somebody who's gotten this high in government and this high in state there as long as they have, they had to sell something. They had to sell their souls to get where they are. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's something that I'm finding is true with almost everyone in the top echelon of the incoming administration. They literally have demons controlling them and running them because the soul is no longer there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no redemption at this point because they don't have any capability to be redeemed because the soul is gone.
That's true. And by the way, that vaccine for the virus is an enabler to allow chemical modification of your body to eliminate your soul. So if you want to take on that vaccine, you're toying with losing your soul. The mark of the beast will be the ultimate version of that.
And one of these, because like I say, they're now talking about a series of vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not this first one, but by the time they get through three or four, it will be there because they will have lulled you to sleep and got you to think, well, it didn't happen with the first one or two. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be cool. Don't believe it.
That's right. People are and the other process. Yes. 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 And Tom,
have,
along with that, I just go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, along with that, I just received a report from Israeli News Live about 2 days ago there was an interview, I think on Sunday, with a doctor that's a expert in this nanotechnology. And what this experiment is, this isn't really a vaccine. This is an experiment. It's never been done before. And they have encapsulated this modified RNA, which is a modifier of your DNA, which is the substance that keeps you as a human being in the image and likeness of God. And it will allow the proteins, because the DNA is a protein, so is RNA, and it allows it to attach itself primarily to the nervous system in the brain. And the very specific area that it goes to first destroy is the conscience area, the area where you and I have an automatic arrangement in our nervous system that sends signals out, and they know that it's a God signal, because every time they've watched the subjects that are there on the experiment that are Christian, and they see that they're praying, that is transmitting right there. And so this particular chemical goes in there, and the first thing it destroys, it sees, it attaches itself to this particular nervous section, and the body sees it as an invading enemy. And what it does is what it's naturally been designed to do, is to attack it. So the body is attacking itself, and it destroys itself. And the first thing it's destroying is that connection between us and the Lord.
Gentlemen, I'm going to pipe in here. If you're just joining us out there, it's an honor to be here with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird, retired. This is an excellent assessment, gentlemen, of where we're at. My thoughts are this, and withstanding a miracle, it'll take a midnight miracle. I mean, what, tomorrow is the 20th, right? Tomorrow is swearing-in day?
It's going to be 20th with you, and the next day is going to be 20th with us.
I'm sorry, that gives us an extra day in America, that's right. 48 hours, folks, we need a miracle. Withstanding that, my assessment, gentlemen, is... it's later than I had expected. There's not another reprieve coming. There'll be no man to stand in the gap for this country at the level President Trump was. You can count on no congressman to save you. This is not about, well, maybe next election, folks, we will not get to another election where we'll have an opportunity like we had now. I believe that President Trump was our last American president. I'll say that again. The last American president. And I then am going to change my modus operandi. I'm not sure if I have the right word to describe it, but I see this, gentlemen, as this is going to be a time where anyone who holds on to the cross of Jesus, who's an American patriot, who even voted for Trump, and that's maybe all you did, but you're not a Christian, let's say, any of those would qualify you as a terrorist, the enemy threat to the New World Order, and their goal is to eliminate you and I, just as Brother Baird said. There will be nothing to stop them but the hand of God. And it looks like judgment is coming soon then on America. The wrath of God will pour out in full measure at some point against our country. That's in His timing. But I'm like this. I look at it as an all points bulletin going out across the world, find and destroy all those who will not join up with our system. It won't happen overnight. It'll be systematically, folks, until we get a full rollout with that mark of the beast in whatever form that takes, probably that microneedle, nano dot tattoo. We certainly have the technology here. But there is no more reprieve coming. If America falls on the 20th, it has fallen, and it will not be getting back up. It's war. This is a declaration of war on mankind, and the New World Order has everything ready to roll out with their Great Reset. They're meeting this month. They haven't already met by teleconference, and they're going to meet in person in June, I think, in Davos. there will be no more
90 seconds
if God does not stand in at this time. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I are going to be toast tonight or perish in quick order. That's in God's hands. All I know is I'm not going to be worrying about the news anymore. It'll be a moot issue. Brother, there'll be nothing more to even look into as it relates to politics, because it's all over but the shout, withstanding a miracle, and Trump is able to stay in office by the hand of God. It'll be
60 seconds.
Wartime mode, folks. Mm-hmm. They're coming for you and I. The demons, their puppet masters, the New World Order, they want to exterminate you and I. And systematically, they're going to begin to arrest people. They're going to begin to persecute people. They've got the jails to hold us, especially in Texas, around the world. And I don't see any letting up of this, folks. I believe it's going to be war on the saints before long. And be prepared to fight till the end for Jesus Christ and the cross. And be prepared to die with your boots on. What do you think, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's well said, it's well summarized. We do not need to despair. This is now the time that we need to have our house, get our house in order and get close to the Lord, where we are able to meet with Him spiritually,
yes,
face to face, so that we can hear. When you go out of the house, when you walk, anytime now, ask the Lord, do I go straight? Do I go left? Do I go right? Follow the peace that passes understanding that the Lord will give you, and obey it, because that will be where He wants you to be. And it will save you, or it will bring a confrontation that will destroy the enemy. Either one. God has many things that He will do to protect you and I. Fear not. Do not be afraid, and do not be anxious. Because God is our God. Remember the 91st Psalm.
Yes.
1,000 may die, may fall at your right hand, and 10,000, or whatever it is, at your, I can't remember, right or left, but anyway, the second group is 10,000 1,000 may die at your, fall at your side, and 10,000 fall at your right hand. And you will not come nigh it, or it will not come nigh you, rather. God will cause that to happen. He will guide you and I. He will provide for you and I. Did He not provide for over 3 million people and all of their cattle?
Yes.
In the desert with water and with manna? You know, all of the cattle had to be fed too. I don't see a lot of vegetation in the middle of a desert, but God provided for everyone and everything that belonged to the Israelites. You and I are part of God's people, part of Israel, the true spiritual Israel. Can He not take care of you and I?
Absolutely, Brother Baird. Folks, He
Let's
is
go
our
with
only
another
protector.
One. We need to put up another illustration.
Gentlemen,
you go to the book of Exodus. You see the seven plagues brought mm-hmm. to the Egyptians. Not one of the Israelites was touched with any one of these plagues.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
And there's the Passover, where all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. But for everyone who put the blood of the lamb on their door, they were spared. The angel of death passed over them. That's why they call it Passover. And so we're looking at a time, a very dangerous time, and it's going to be important that we listen and obey.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen,
the
we're
other
out of
thing
time.
Is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We're actually 2 minutes over. What I need to do is close the show. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I want you to give out your contact detail before we do. How do people reach you?
Okay, very quickly here. This is Tom, Major Tom Baird, retired. My website is aliveontheedge.com. and my email is tom@aliveontheedge.com. So you can reach me there. You can also plug into both books that are nonfiction there that I've written, that the Lord has guided. It tells you some of the prophecy that's going to occur during this particular time. God is going to take care of us, and it shows it in what he showed. Now, the end result's going to be far different than what we have now, but God will take care of us.
Brother Mac?
Yes, and I am in the process of putting these on Discord, so
oh, great.
Can look them up.
I was going to ask you to look into setting up a Discord channel. It's working pretty cool.
And, okay, to get a hold of me, write tom.mack, M-A-C-K, at whitestonefoundation.org. My website is whitestonefoundation.org. And the new website is ancient-evil.org. Now, I've had a couple of people write me and ask about that. It's our newest adventure, and it looks like it's going to be very, very timely that I get this stuff up just as quickly as I can. Mm-hmm. And pray, it's not easy. The devil hates the information I'm putting up there. Mm-hmm. But I'll put these in Discord so that you can go look them up. Also put up the Copper Scroll Incident.info. Mm-hmm. That one's proven to be very interesting. Even though when it was written, it seemed like speculation at the time, but for some reason...
It was before the 2016 elections, way before, so there was no real hard intelligence. There was some soft intelligence, but not hard.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Be sure and get over to those websites, and I want to thank both of you for your service to the body of Christ, for doing these shows with me. For the archive purposes, guys, this was episode 8001. We made it to a new landmark, praise God. And
amen.
We will see you both next week. What would you like to title your show for tonight?
Oh, boy.
Things are not as they seem. Beware.
There you
Sounds
go.
Sounds good. All right. See you all soon, brothers. God bless.
Thank you.
Folks, let me set up for the next show. Stand by a second. Refresh on MixLR coming up.